Welcome to Jersey Guy Sports, your sports talk home for the Yankees, Giants, Rangers, and the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. I'm your host, Don. I want to thank you for tuning in. Today, I'm going to be discussing the Rangers beating the Winnipeg Jets 4-1 Sunday night in Canada, and Rutgers basketball regular season year in review. So let's go ahead and get started with the Rangers. The New York Rangers beat the Winnipeg Jets 4-1 Sunday night on the road. And the Rangers actually scored more than two goals in a game and actually played fairly well 5-on-5 for the first time in a while. This is a remarkable thing if you're a Ranger fan, as you well know, given how much the Rangers struggle to score goals and struggle 5-on-5. And so all the game in general was, I think, pretty unremarkable. They did actually play well 5-on-5 and scored a few goals. The Rangers have been winning a lot lately, but they've been overly reliant, I would say, on the goaltending of Igor Shesterkin to win these games. This game at least gave Igor a bit of breathing room, at least by the third period or so. It was not a perfect game by any means. You know, the Rangers took far too many penalties and didn't score, you know, many goals until the third period, but it was another win. And another outstanding goaltending effort from Igor Shesterkin, you know, who ended the game with 44 saves. For the game itself, the Rangers took an early 1-0 lead. It was just a few minutes into the game. Barkley Goodrow had a goal. It looked like it was almost offsides. Honestly, if I was the Winnipeg coach, I probably would have challenged it. I forget who was on the other side, but even in ultra-slow motion, it was very hard to see, and the new offsides rule this year probably saved the Rangers. It used to be up until this year, your skate had to be on the ice and on the line. Now it's just your body and skate have to be parallel to the vertical line, so your skate could be lifted, and you could still be on sides as long as part of your body is over that blue line. So even with that more beneficial rule, it was quite a close look, and I think if I was a Winnipeg coach, I would have probably challenged that. In any case, Goodrow got the goal and put the Rangers up 1-0. The Rangers did take two early penalties in the first period. I'm sure Gallant would not be happy about that. And then after they killed both of those off, the Rangers got a few power plays of their own, and they look really good on them. On the second one, Chris Kreider deflected in a shot for his 37th goal of the year, which is insane. The Rangers had a 2-0 lead at that point. And in the second period, in the beginning, I guess, of the third, too, the Rangers continued to take penalties, too many penalties. And eventually, on the last one, they took the Jets, got a power play goal, and closed it within 2-1. I think it was on their fifth power play or something already. Too many power plays. Kreider, though, responded and got his second goal on the game on kind of a semi-breakaway on a great bank pass off the boards from Mika. Zibanejad, you know, was well behind, banked it behind Kreider off the boards. Kreider beat the man, his defender, used his speed. He finished on a great backhand, and he put the puck past the goalie for his 38th goal of the year. He now has 38 goals, and he's really continuing to have an outstanding season for the Rangers. As frustrated as I've been with Chris Kreider over the years, and Lord, let me tell you, I've been friggin' frustrated with this guy. This year, he really is finally realizing his potential. I mean, if you listen to this podcast or know me, you know that Kreider, to me, has been one of the more frustrating Rangers I've ever seen. While he's been streaky good at many times in his career, he's gone long, long, long stretches of time where you don't even hear his name in the game year after year after year. This year has not been the case. That hasn't been the case. And he is right up there with the league leaders in goals with 38. And he's continuing to have a great year. And he's playing a little better defensively as well. Trouba then added a goal in the third to make it 4-1, and the Rangers really never looked back after that. Igor Shesterkin, you know, and the Rangers basically shut down Winnipeg for the rest of the game, and the Rangers held on for a 4-1 victory in Winnipeg. Shesterkin, by the way, his save percentage for this game was a ridiculous 978, and he improved his league-leading save percentage to 942. He's got a friggin' 942 save percentage, which is just pure insanity. And he also lowered his league-leading goals against, by the way, to 1.93 goals again. Just friggin' crazy. Nuts. To close, really, on the Rangers, it was not really a remarkable game in a lot of ways. If it's possible to actually be outshot in a hockey game 46-22 like the Rangers were, win 4-1, and consider it a ho-hum win, the Rangers somehow managed to do that if you watch this game. It just didn't feel like they were being outshot 46-22. But in any case, you know, it was another day, it was another win, and the Rangers seem to keep getting win after win after win recently. And let's go ahead and talk about the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. So as we get into the middle of March here, and Rutgers basketball regular season has ended, and they're preparing for the Big Ten tournament and possibly the NCAA tournaments, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Rutgers basketball team and kind of review their regular season. So what do we say about this Rutgers basketball team this year? This team is nothing if not an enigma. I mean, for sure, they are an enigma. This Rutgers team is a team that lost to Minnesota, a poor team, lost to Northwestern, a poor team. They got killed earlier in the year by Penn State, who was a dreadful team. And they got killed by Maryland, who was a terrible team. All right, so you think, oh, God, what's going on? This is also a team that beat Wisconsin, who is the Big Ten co-champion, on the road, by the way, in Wisconsin, beat Michigan for the first time in Rutgers history. They beat the number one team in the country, Purdue. They beat a ranked Illinois, a ranked Michigan State, and a ranked Ohio State team. Rutgers beat four consecutive ranked teams, all while Rutgers was not ranked. And that is the first time in the history of college basketball that that has been done. So no one has ever done that before, beaten four consecutive ranked teams while being unranked. So this is a team that has the ability to do anything, but boy, is it an enigma. Again, the season started out in terrible fashion, losing to Lafayette, UMass, and DePaul. Coach Peichel, you know, maintained, you know, that he still considered this his best team ever, which is a prognostication he made before the season started. And even through those terrible down times, he maintained it. And in looking at the overall Rutgers basketball product after this regular season is now over, Peichel certainly has a pretty good argument. Given all the accomplishments this team has had this year, it's probably unlike any other team. What is Rutgers? Rutgers plays tremendous defense at times. They have two potential stars in Harper and Baker, and maybe an emerging third star in the center, Amari. They had the likely Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year in Caleb McConnell, who, you know, while frustrating for me offensively, is a consistent shutdown defensive player. They have Mulcahy, who has an incredible ability to dish the ball and occasionally scored a very high clip, but who also has had a streak of poor games to close out the regular season, unfortunately. Rutgers also finally has an inside game with Cliff Amori that they haven't had, I don't know, in 40 friggin' years or something. Cliff is a consistent scorer, 12, 15 points a game, 10, 12 rebounds a game. He's becoming an elite defender on top of that. He is probably the best player in the country at scoring on alley-oops, and he leads college basketball with 82 dunks. His athleticism is perhaps one of the best I've ever seen at center, you know, in college. He has developed a jump shot as well as a mid-range game. He possesses the ability to defend at an elite level while not getting in foul trouble, which is something Rutgers has not seen in forever. I mean, forever. I can't remember the last time that they've had someone in there that was that much of a defensive force and did not get into consistent foul trouble. Now, Rutgers lacks consistency, though, in just about all parts of its game, except for maybe the defensive part of its game where they're stout just about every game and every minute. Rutgers goes through long, long streaks of not scoring and poor offensive decisions. Also, when Mulcahy is on the bench getting a rest, Rutgers' offense is noticeably worse. There are tons of what ends up being one-on-one moves and clear outs there's less effective screening roles with McCain on the bench and generally more inept execution of their offense. There is one thing for sure about this Rutgers basketball team, to be sure. They are battle-tested. I can't think of any team that's had to endure more, come back more often, fight harder, and has been in so many close games. Matter of fact, I read that they are 6-2 in the Big Ten in games that were decided by one possession. And if you know the Big Ten, you know there are a ton of fantastic teams in the Big Ten. And Rutgers, they're battle-tested. They are really battle-tested. In the NCAA tournament, you know, if Rutgers ends up making it, it's not a given yet, but if they make it, you know, the motto there when you get to the tournament, when you get to the big dance, survive in advance, right? That's what they say. Just find a way. Survive in advance. That could easily be the description of Rutgers this year. They are built to grind, survive in advance. In the tournament itself, the ability to grind and play tough defense, face adversity, stand tall, it's critical for advancing. And as I said, you know, here, a battle-tested Rutgers team really can go far. It might just be the team that no one wants to play, especially if Rutgers is starting to score on a consistent basis. I mean, Rutgers has proven to have enough intestinal fortitude time and time again. Now, what the future holds is obviously up in the air, as Rutgers has yet to actually get a bid to the tournament. But if Rutgers does get in, I know I wouldn't want to be the coach of an opposing team that gets matched up against RU in the first round. No way in hell do I want to be that team. It might also be the last gasp, though, for Rutgers, as Gio, you know, will be gone after this year. Baker's out of here. Potentially Harper and McConnell, too, which would just be killer for Rutgers. Harper and McConnell. O'Connell. McConnell. Caleb can come back next year, but whether they choose to or not, we'll have to see. Rutgers basketball, their team seems determined not to let the season end. And, you know, time will tell just how far, you know, grit, determination, and their sheer will can carry them. This year has been one of the most frustrating and one of the most exhilarating years I can ever remember in Rutgers basketball. Full stop. Here's hoping, you know, that the seniors get sent out on a high note. Go RU. And I want to thank you for listening to Jersey Guy Sports. Please subscribe to the podcast and tell your friends all about it. I'll be back soon with some more sports talk. Thanks and have a good day.